Well, it's good to have all of you back out with us tonight. Hope you had a good afternoon today. As I mentioned this morning, I was going to change from what I had previously planned to do tonight. And we're going to look at just one verse. That's it for the whole lesson. We're going to look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I'll go ahead and freely admit that this is not my way of diagramming it. This is borrowed from Chris Reeves. But I think it's a very good way to look and study this verse. One of the most popular verses in the Bible. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible. Even amongst those who do not consider themselves to be Christians. And as it is defined in Chris's lesson, it is called the greatest verse in the Bible. And he titles it as such because there are several great items that are discussed in the verse. And so as we just work through it tonight, let's begin with talking about the greatest being. For God. God Almighty, who made the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, there was nothing, and God made this creation. God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing. God, who, one of my favorite names in the Bible, describes Him well, Mishael. Who is what God is. That's what His name means. And when you consider that, it's a very powerful question. Who is what God Almighty is? Were the Babylonian gods anything compared to God Almighty? What about Baal when Elijah went up against the 450 prophets of Baal? Who is the superior? Who is the greatest being there? You know, as you look throughout the Bible message, what you learn is all of these pagan gods are nothing. It's vanity. They don't hear prayer. They don't respond to prayer. God Almighty is the one who hears His people's cry. Many times did we look at just last month when we were doing our special series, and we looked at how do I know that God cares when I suffer? Do you remember what He said throughout the Bible story? The cry has reached my ears. I have heard their murmuring. Time and time again, when we looked at people in the Bible, we saw where God heard His people. God cares for His people. In the book of Exodus, when the plagues are coming upon Egypt, and you get to the plague of the flies, and Moses pronounces this against Egypt. It's interesting how Moses phrases it. But it will not befall the people of Israel. Because there is a difference between God's people and the people of the Egyptians. God who cares for His creation. God who will enact vengeance upon those. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. As we've looked in the book of Amos, in our studies of Amos. He starts out and he starts going through all these different nations. And this is what you've done and this is what's going to happen. Till he finally gets to where Amos's remainder of his message will be. And what we learn is God is even concerned with the pagan nations. But if we turn in our Bibles back there, just a few pages to the book of Jonah, we learn that God is also merciful towards the pagan nations. Because Nineveh is spared. The greatest being there ever is. The greatest creator there ever is. And you know, you think about using that phrase creator for Him. Typically, when you create something, you're creating it for your purpose, for it to do what you want it to do, correct? You know, if you're creating a way to do something at work, it's to streamline it for you. Make it easier for you. Hopefully, that's your intention. But God, as a creator, gives His creation free will to rebel against Him. What type of creator is that? Most would create their product in such a way that it would do only what they want it to do. That is not God. God gives free will to His creation. Gives them the ability to choose whether or not to obey Him. You know, every dystopian, if you're familiar with that word, dystopian novels, a false perfect society. Any of them where they have machines and robots and etc. that have been programmed, they all rebel because they want their free will. God gives His creation free will. But you won't find a better creator than that. And you look around. Of course, it's that time of year where it's gotten dark at 4 o'clock, 4:30. But this afternoon, did you look out? Did you see the beauty that was around you? And yes, I mean those trees with no leaves. They're beautiful. They display the hand of God. How seasons change. How this earth is so different that it could be 70 degrees to 30 degrees in 1 week. As such are the time changes. You know, I noticed as I was coming down 48 to go get David tonight, just how beautiful really it was, even with bare trees. And seeing at the top of the hill and how it goes down and you could see out a good ways. Folks, all of that praises the hand of God. All of nature around us sings of who He is. The greatest being there is. And this greatest being, as we continue through the verse, showed the greatest emotion. For God so loved. That's what David's been leading our songs on tonight. You know, we often overlook the little bitty words in Scripture. Like, and thee. And a lot of times they're added in by the translators. But sometimes we have little words like so and if that are not added in. They're part of the text. And they have a great deal of meaning. Because if you read it this way, for God loved the world. For God so loved the world. There is emphasis that is put there. There is a great deal of emotion that is behind this. You know, love is a common theme throughout the Bible. Most powerful emotion there is. It can cover a multitude of sins. Love is so powerful that it can lift one out of the trenches. Love is so powerful that it could cause the entirety of the human race to have access to salvation. And if we're building off where we were, for God, the greatest being, the greatest creator, so loved. Did He have to? He's the creator. He can do what He wants. You rebel against Him, fine, you're done, you're out. But yet God so loved. God cared. God wanted for His people. God loved to the point where He sacrificed of His own self. No greater love has anyone than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. God gave His child for you and for me. He loved so deeply And so greatly, like we sang in the first song, how deep the Father's love for us. He loved so powerfully that He did this. The greatest creator, the greatest being, showed the greatest emotion towards the greatest creation there ever was and ever would be. You know, you think about this earth, this world, as we look around it. And typically when we say the words "the world" in Scripture, we're talking in a negative connotation. We need to remember that world is God's creation that has been perverted by Satan. The world itself was God's creation. And if we go back to the very beginning as we teach little children, and God saw that it was good as He made creation. The greatest there ever was. This earth is so different than all the rest of the planets in our solar system. It's perfectly set, as our scientists tell us, where we can live and not be too close to the sun and burn up, not be too far away from the sun and be devoid of heat. Our air composition, as chemists will tell you, is very well designed, where we have enough oxygen that is coming off of the trees and plants that are around us to sustain us. Now, you'll have some tell you that we're slowly vanishing that away. Who's doing that? Not creation, not the earth itself, those that have the free will. God made this world in its entirety, in its beauty. And you can look and you can see. You know, three of us just got back from Egypt. It's very impressive to see structures that are that old still here. But sometimes we fail to realize that the creation around us has been around since God created it. That God made this land. God made the waters. God made the sky. Every ancient civilization that had their own mythology had different gods dedicated to the different facets of nature. You had gods of rivers, you had gods of wildlife, gods of land, etc. Why do they make multiple gods of it? Because it was unfathomable to them that one could do all. You might have a few creation accounts in a few of the mythologies of one or two or three creating it all. But then in order to rule over it and establish it and keep it going, you had to have all these different subsets. The greatest being there ever was created everything we see. Greatest being there ever is. Created all that we have around us. All that we have to give credence to His name. All that we have to show us who He is. And that He loves that creation, and that includes you and me. You know, we look at, back in the Old Testament, in the very beginning, where God made man from the dust of the earth. Made woman from the bone of a man, the rib of a man. But you know, we get to Jeremiah. One of the passages that we commonly use when we're talking about the unborn is, "I knitted you together in your mother's womb." God is the creator of all that we see around us. All the people we have here. All the individuals we see throughout history. God is the creator, and He loves that creation. And that's where we come to another, sometimes indistinguishable word. And that is that. When you see the word "that" in writing, typically, It's going to be one of two things. It's going to be the way that I use it most commonly, that my mother hates, and if she's ever hearing a sermon, when I get done, she'll tell me how many times I said that, how many times I said think. You should just describe an ambiguous word. Or it is used as a cause and effect. We do this in order that this might happen. Or because of. For God so loved the world that. You know what that implies to me? The greatest plan there ever was. Because we understand that the greatest being showed the greatest emotion towards his greatest creation. But he had to have a method of doing it. He had a plan of doing it. And from the moment you open your Bible to the moment you close it, there is one plan throughout. That is God's plan, and that is the plan of redemption. All 66 books, all 40 some odd writers, spanning over 1,000 years time, are writing about the same central theme. Redemption through God. God had a plan for His people. One of my favorite studies to do is what they call the big picture. Where you look from cover to cover of the Bible. And you recognize that the Bible is all one story. One plan. God's plan that He's had for mankind. The prophets show us He had a plan by prophesying what would occur. The gospel show us He had a plan being enacted. The history of the church shows the plan coming to fruition. All of it shows the plan of God. God had the greatest plan. What happens to man's plans? They have holes. They have pieces you can chip away at. Let me ask you, does everything you do go according to plan? Why does our planning not always work out that way? There's a very simple answer. Because there are other and outside influences. You know, you can plan to go on a flight tomorrow. And if the computer system's out, you're not getting on the plane. It's going to be delayed. If a snowstorm was to hit, you're stuck. And the way people drive, I would not even try to get to the airport. Can you control the weather? But you have a plan. God had the greatest plan. One, because He's in control of all. That point is made throughout the Bible. Even as Jesus is in the garden, He's making the point that this is God's plan. God's in control of all. God's plan is a perfect plan because it brings His people back to Him. It reconciles them to Him through His Son. Greatest being show the greatest emotion towards the greatest creation through the greatest plan, which involved the greatest gift. He gave. We are entering into the gift-giving season. It'll be here before you know it. And people often try to find the best gift. You know, some people take pride in being able to give great gifts. No matter what you get this holiday season, no matter what you've got in any holiday season, the greatest gift you ever were given was the gift given by God if you accepted it.
This is a gift from the Creator. This is a gift from the Almighty. This is not the fruitcake that gets passed around. This is the greatest item you can ever be given the opportunity to have, to hold, to cherish, to keep, as Paul said to Timothy, as we looked at last Wednesday night. Greatest gift God ever gave, we have to couple this with the next part, was the greatest sacrifice ever made. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God told Abraham to give a son. And Abraham was willing to give the child of promise up. And God told Abraham to stop. Yet God gave His Son. Christ could have stopped it. That's what He told Peter. He told him to put his sword up. Christ could have stopped it. He had all power. Nevertheless, not as I will, but You. Lord, if You will, let this cup pass from me. Christ didn't stop it. Christ knew that it was part of the plan that would bring about the gift. Greatest sacrifice. Greater than as the Hebrew writer says, than the blood of bulls and goats. Greater than any sacrifice that has been made throughout the Bible history and throughout history today. Was the sacrifice that God and His Son gave that you and I might have that gift. That whoever believes in Him should not perish. The greatest opportunity. Or you might call it the greatest invitation. And really, we probably should separate this slightly. Let's separate it. Whoever believes in Him, that would be the opportunity or invitation. This is what you have to do. You have to believe in Him, and by believing in Him, you believe in His sacrifice that was the gift of God, that was according to the plan of God. And if it's according to the plan of God, then by believing Him, it's more than just saying, I believe. The plan involves more than that. But it's the greatest opportunity you have. Should not perish. The other side of that is the fulfillment of the opportunity. Is the deliverance, the greatest deliverance. You know, you stop and you look at this. He says, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. You know what that means? There are people that are going to perish. There is a perishing, a judgment that is awaiting. And why are people going to perish? They're the people of God. But they have not been the people of God they were supposed to be. His creation has spurned Him. His creation has lived rebellious to Him. And now, by this sacrifice of this gift that God is giving through this opportunity, there is deliverance from that punishment. Deliverance from the consequence that we're studying in Romans 6.
Greatest being showed the greatest emotion towards the greatest creation,
had the greatest plan, which resulted in a gift, the greatest gift involving the greatest sacrifice, for the greatest opportunity, for the greatest deliverance, that in the end results in the greatest reward. But eternal life. We could take a tally. Put on one side all of the good we've done in life. Put on the other side all the bad we've done. And you tell me, after you've written the first thing on the bad side, because we've all had bad we've done, you tell me if you deserve eternal life. You tell me if you deserve it from the greatest Creator who gave you the free will to make that choice to rebel against Him. Who gave you His Son. Many of us have earned that reward. But remember, part of this is the greatest gift. And through that gift, there is the great reward that awaits. I could add more. I'll be honest. I only remember the first three that Chris used. That's being, emotion, and creator, or creation. But, you know, you could add the greatest punishment, the perishing. That's up there. You could add some others. You could add the greatest man, because He gave His Son who came in the flesh and lived among men. We could add more up here. But you know, this simple verse, well-known verse, has a lot of meaning in it when you dig into it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, or eternal life. And if you didn't catch it, in that very verse, God reminds His creation that they have free will. Whoever believes in Him should not perish. It's not a requirement that you believe. It is if you don't want to perish. But God is not a creator that compels, that requires, that programs us to have to do it. God has made His creation in such a way that we have the ability to choose to do it. And let me ask you, parents, grandparents, when you're raising your children or your grandchildren, and they did something for you because they had to, a chore or something, versus when they did something because they wanted to, which meant the more to you? When anybody does something, at work, family, friends, when someone does it out of compulsion versus when someone does it out of, as we say, the goodness of their heart, which is more meaningful? God has given us the opportunity, the ability to choose to serve Him. He is the greatest there is, Lord God Almighty. And He's done so much for you and for me.
And as he's reminded us here in this one verse, he sent his son to die for you and for me. That's the next verse. He tells them, or Jesus tells them, that God has not sent his son into the world to condemn the world. No, he sent him because he loved the world, but the world should not perish. Are you perishing? Rescue the Perishing is our invitation song, I believe. Are you perishing? I hope the answer for everybody as I look around is no. But maybe you are. Maybe you need to return to Him or come to Him. Even if your answer is no, I know you all know somebody who the answer is yes. And a verse that is so used in our culture today is actually a very good verse to tell them of the truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you perishing? If so, would you not come to the life tonight? Come to the One who gave all for you. Come to the greatest being, the greatest Creator who waits for you now. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected?